Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Beis. We have 9 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis Amar Rava. So we're moving along in Perek Behema HaMekasha, which deals with halachos of an Uber. The Gemara on daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis brought a very important memra from the Amora Rabba in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Rabba said, "Kishem shetumah belua eina metama, kach tahara belua eina metama." 2 halachas. Number 1, if something that's tame, such as nevela, is belua, it's swallowed, it's absorbed in something else, the halacha is eina metama. The same is true, said Rabba, if a davar tahar is belua, it's swallowed, it's absorbed in something else, then it cannot become tame. The Gemara said that the makar to tuma belua ena mitama is learned out from tumas nevela. Taira belua ena mitama is learned kal v'choymer from tuma belua. There were kashas and tirutzim, a shakla v'tayro, all within the realm of tuma v'tayro. But either way, this up until this point is Rabba's chiddush. 2 things: tuma belua ena mitama, tahira belua ena mitama. Says the Gemara, my Rava, who was Rabba's Talmud, asked the kasha to his Rebbe. He said, "Rebbe, you're coming into Shir and you're saying these 2 big chidushim, tuma belua ena mitama, tahira belua ena mitama, travayu tanini. They're both mishnayos, tuma belua tanina and tahira belua tanina. Where's this mishnah? Tuma belua the tanan. It's a mishnah in the 10th parak of Masechtas Mikvos, bala tabas tmeya." If somebody swallowed a tabas, a ring that was tomei tomas meis, Rashi says that it came in contact with a meis. And we know the rule is cherev harehu kecholol. So if metal touches a meis, the metal now gets the halacha of a meis, and it can now be metama and make someone that comes in contact with it tomei tomas meis. So if somebody, a person, swallows a tabas that had in it tomas meis, so the halacha is that person is now tomei tomas meis, as if he would have touched the meis itself. And for that reason, the halacha is toivo. He has to go through his shlishi, the shvi, and maybe even would need hazah from the parah aduma, and only afterwards he has to go to the mikvah and be toivo, and he's going to be able to eat truma. Why? He's tomei. The reason he's Tomei is because he came in contact with a tabas that came in contact with a mace. Cherev harehu kecholol. He has a status of Tumas mace. Hekiyo, if he spits out the tabas, the halacha is Timeya. He is going to be Tomei. V'timasoi, and he's going to be Tomei again. The point, however, what you see from this Mishnah is that up until the point that he spits out this tabas, he's not considered tamei by virtue of the fact that he's in contact with the tabas. L'chaira, why does it help if the tabas is still inside his guf for him to now go to the mikvah and be able to eat truma? L'chaira, if he still has the tabas inside of him, he's still in contact. When he swallows it, it's a problem. When he spits it out, it's a problem. L'chaira, if that's the case, when it's inside of him, it should also be a problem, because at that point, he's in contact with the tabas, which has tumas meis. What do you see from here? It must be, Rava said, because tuma belua ain't a tuma. So he told Rabbi, you're saying a big chiddush, tuma belua ain't a metama. It's not such a big chiddush. In fact, it's a mefurish a mishnah. So, Rebbe, what are you trying to say? It's saying over a mishnah mikvais. Everybody knows the mishnah mikvais. And the second thing that Rabbi said, which was tahira belua, it cannot become tame. Tanina, that's also a mishnah. It's the same mishnah. Now, bala tabas tahira. If somebody swallowed a tabas, that's tar. And nichlas leilam meis, and he entered an oilam meis. Vehiza vishina vitaval. And he went through the whole Tyra process, v'ikia, and then he spit out the tabas. There's no problem. Meaning, if somebody swallows a tabas that's tahar, and then he enters a toilet maze, the tabas itself never becomes tame. Meaning, if the tabas was inside of him, it's not going to become tame. Why not? The tabas is in the person who's in the oil amaze, let the tabas become tamei, tumas meis. The teretz is because the tabas is balua. And you see from here that a dover tahar, that's balua, can't become tamei. So again, both chidushim that Rabbi said would seem to be mefurish mishnayis in Masechtas Mikvos. Says the Gemara, no. Ki kama Rabbo, ki goin shabola shtei tabois, achas tmeya v'achas tahira. Delei metami lo tmeya lo tahira. So just a little bit of an introduction before we see exactly what the Gemara means to say. And that is, Rabbi said that really those 2 mishnayis at Masechtas Mikvos, there'd be 2 ways to understand. One way to understand the mishnayis is tuma belua eina Tmeya, and Taira Belua in a Metama. Meaning, you could understand that what the Mishnah is saying is that tabas that's balua inside of somebody doesn't have an ability to be mitama. It's for that reason that if a person swallows the tabas that's tameh, he can go through the regular tahira process, assume he's tar, only when he spits it out that he comes into real contact with it. When it's not balua anymore, is it an issue? Because tuma balua ain't a mitama, and tahira balua ain't a mitama as well. That's why if a person has a tabas tahira inside of him and he walks into an oil maze, it's not going to be tameh. But really, he said there's another way to learn it. Maybe tuma balua is mitama. Maybe tahira balua could become tameh. If that's the case, why is it that if a person has a tabas that's tameh inside of him, he's not tameh? Because how do you become tameh when you come in contact with a davar tameh? You have to come in contact with him. Maybe the definition of contact is being touching a part, an external part of a person. So if a davar tameh touches an external part of you, then you become tameh. But if it touches an internal part of you, maybe that's not enough for you to become tameh. It's what's known in the vernacular of Tumah V'Tahira as Tumas Beis Hastarim. It could be if the maga happened, the Beis Hastarim, in a hidden place, in an internal place, it's not tameh. So Rabbi said like this, it's true, now that I told you that Tuma balua enem tama and tayra balua enem tayra. It's pashat. That's what the Mishnah Mikvayis means. But before I said this, really, there could have been another way to understand the Mishnah. Maybe the reason there's no tuma and tayra in the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis is not because the Dover Tomeh doesn't have an ability to be Metama Be'etzim because it's Balua. Maybe a Dover Balua could be Metama. Maybe the reason it's not Metama is because the Maga is happening internally. What's it touching? It's touching one of the internal organs. That's called Magas Beis Hastarim. If it happens in Beis Hastarim, that's the reason it's not. L'may nafkamino. What difference does it make if Pshat of the Mishnah Mikvayis is because it's a Tuma Balua, so there's a Chesaron in the Etzem Tuma, or the issue is Beis Hastarim, there's no problem with the Etzem Tuma. The problem is that it's not considered a Giyah. What would be if somebody swallowed two tabais? One was tamei and one was tahar. And the two tabais touched each other inside. If tuma balua be'etzim doesn't have an ability to be metama, if taira balua be'etzim doesn't have an ability to become tamei, so that even though they're touching each other in a regular negiya, albeit in a funny place, but in a regular negiya, so that halacha is the would be tuma. If, however, there's a halacha of tuma balua in a metama be'etzim and taira balua in a metama be'etzim, so then the halacha is that there'd be no way for it to be tamei. Says the Gemara, Ki Kama Rabba. You want to know what Rabba's Chiddush was? Where was Negeya the Chiddush? It was Negeya Kagan Shabbalah Shtei Tabois Achas Meiv Achas Tahira. Tlei Metamulate Meiv Lahira. If all I had was the Mishnah Mikvayis, I would have thought that maybe in that case there is going to be Tomei. And the reason it's going to be Tomei is because at the end of the day it's not Magas Beis Hastarim. Because although it's happening in a Beis Hastarim, but the two Tabois are not touching each other in a Beis Hastarim way, they're touching each other in the regular way, in the ordinary way. Kamashmal and Rabba, the Pshan of the Mishnah Mikvayis is not because of Beis Hastarim. It's much more than that. It's because Tumah Balua ain't a Metama. Taira Balua ain't a Metama. If that's the reason that even if the two Tabois were together Balua, at the end of the day, they're both Balua. If they're both Balua, I can't be Metama. You can't receive Tumah from me. And it's for that reason that Rabba had to say his Chiddush. Speak to Gemara. Akasha. So what does that do with our sugya? Why are we discussing Rabbi's halacha in the first place? Because it relates back to our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Isha shemeis vlada b'teich meyea, a woman who had a child that died inside her rechem. Upashtachayes yada, and the midwife put her hand inside the rechem of the mother. V'naga b'yachat, and she touched this Uber, that's not alive. So the halacha is a chaya tmei tuma shiva, but isha toira she eats ava. The chaya is going to be tummy, the isha is not going to be tummy. Faith in Gemara Kasha, why is the chaya tummy? Because she touched the Uber, for Uber, the chaya tikshte kabois tamu, the chaya that like two tabois, for kometamu the Uber, the chaya, and still you see the Uber is metama the chaya, not the kasha and rabba. If rabba holds a tuma blue zain metama, why is the midwife tummy when she touches the Uber? The Uber is Balua. It's Balua inside the mother. So the Gemara understands that it should be a textbook example of Balua. What's Balua? You swallowed a tabas. You ate the nevela. You're digesting the food. An Uber is Balua inside her mother or his mother. As a result, the Uber is also Balua. And still you see that the midwife becomes Tum. Now, Bishloima, if Rabba was wrong, and although there's a Mishnah that says a halacha, that if somebody swallows a tabas that's tameh, he doesn't become tameh. But the reason that halach is true is because it's considered maga beis hastarim. Our Mishnah wouldn't be shver, because our Mishnah is not maga beis hastarim. In our Mishnah, the chaya literally stuck her hand inside the mother. So as a result, it's a regular maga. It's not beis hastarim. If it's not beis hastarim, that's why she's tameh. But now that Rabbi said a chiddush in the Mishnah, Misachtes Mikvayis, that the reason in the Mishnah there's no tumah is not because of maga. It's not a chesaron in the negiya. It's a much more fundamental problem.
It's because the tum itself, when it's balua, doesn't have an ability to be matama. If that's the case, va uber v'chaya, the kishtei kabayis, tamu v'kam matama, uber v'chaya, on my rabbos. Rabbi said, shani yubah hayvatsar falatsis. I don't look at an uber as being balua, because the uber eventually is going to leave the mother's rechem, and being that eventually it's going to leave the mother's rechem, so it's for that reason I don't consider that balua. So it's not a tzushtel to the halach of tumah balua. It's not considerable. Afraid to gemar, oh my rov, uber seifel lotzis, the passing seifel lotzis. What, the tabas is going to be there forever? Tabas eventually is also going to leave the body of the person. El amar rov, so rov said, pumpedisoy yadi taimedam milsa. I heard from pumpedisoy, umanoi, who's pumpedisoy, also known as Rav Yosef. Dom Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, and the name Rav Yehuda, pshad in the Mishnah, who said in the name of Shmuel Tumah Zu Ein Midvei Toyel Midvei Seif. The Pshat in the Mishnah has nothing to do with real Tumah V'Tahira on a biblical level, but rather everything going on in the Mishnah is on a rabbinic level. It's all Midvei Seif. Says the Gemara, My Ein Midvei Toyel Midvei Seif. What does he mean? That's pretty wordy. Ein Midvei Toyel Midvei Seif. Toloitei Maldi B'Rabbi Yakiv Da'Om Umevimei Isha Tomei. Don't say Rav Yosef said in the name, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. The Pshat of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that an uber b'mei ishas tamei. We'll see what that means in a minute. El afilu Rabbi Shmuel da omer b'mei isha tar. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel that says uber b'mei isha tar, gazru batumah midrabanan. Again, who's this Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? The Gemara is going to ask the Kasha, and by the time we're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Beis of an Aleph, we'll know who Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are. But for now, what we need, the punchline that Rav said just to explain the Mishnah and to answer the Kasha and Rabbah, is that the reason in our Mishnah the uber that's dead is mitama the midwife is not tumah dairaisa. Tumah dairaisa, it's tumah balua. Tumah balua doesn't have an ability to be mitama. The reason that the midwife is going to be tamei ainam yidivrei taira elam yidivrei soifim. It's a new tumah derabbanan. My time, and what's this tumah derabbanan? Amrav hoishio gzeirah shemayotzi vlad roishay chutz laproizdar. Because we're worried that maybe the uber is going to stick its hand outside of the proizdar. Once it sticks its hand outside of the proizdar, it's considered born. At that point, it's not balua anymore. If it's not balua, if it would touch the midwife at that moment, the midwife would be tamei. So, Enochanami, really, midairaisa, there should be no tumah, because it's tumah balua. And if it's tumah balua, then the uber doesn't have an ability to be mitam of the midwife. But that's all true if it's balua. What happens if it sticks its head out and then it touches the midwife? Oh, now the midwife is already tameh. So, we're splitting gears here. That if it's 100% inside the rechem, then it doesn't have an ability to be mitamah. If it sticks its hand outside of the rechem, then it does have an ability to be mitamah. Sounds like a perfect place for the chachamim to make a gzeirah. And the chachamim said that even though if it's inside, you're right, there's a whole sugya mikvahis, rabba, rava, tabaz, tomas meis, cherev, areu, kecholo, of tumah balua, I hear. But at the same time, midrabbanan, it's going to be awesome. So that's the teretz. The teretz, this is only midrabbanan. But the Gemara asks Akasha, ihachi, if this is the case, meaning the reason in our Mishnah the midwife is tameh, is because of a tumah derabbanan, isha nami. Why is the isha tameh? Right, the Mishnah said, ha'isha shemeis vlada v'toich meyer. And now the midwife stuck her hand inside the rechem, the midwife is tameh. The woman is tahar. What's the difference between the midwife and the woman? So Pasha, you would think, based on Rabbah, that for the midwife, or there's a real maga, it's not beis hastarim. For the mother, it's a beis hastarim. But now that you're telling me that it's all based on gzeiras, then l'chari, there should be no difference between the midwife and the mother. Because just like you're making a gzeira for the midwife, you should make a gzeira for the mother as well. Apparently, when the mother's carrying the dead child, that doesn't make her tameh. But the moment it's born, she would become tameh. So if we're worried about differentiating between when the uber is inside the mother and outside the mother as it relates to the midwife, then l'chur, the same should be true as it relates to the mother as well. So the Gemara says, Isha margeshes ba'atzma. A woman knows the difference between when it's inside of her and outside of her. We don't have to make the gzera. Says the Gemara, v'teimel olachaya. So if the woman's margeshes, why can't she tell the midwife, oh, 1 second, the baby's coming out, and as a result, you know, be careful. Meaning the same protection that you have for herself, why don't you have for the chaya? So the Gemara says, Trida. She says she's just too busy being in pain, and as a result, right, that's literally what Trida means, but you know, she's a suka here, she says, b'chavleha. She's busy with her labor, and as a result, it's not going to happen. Therefore, for the midwife who doesn't have the sensation of, is the baby inside or outside, then we had to make the gzera. As it relates to the mother, we did not have to make the gzera. So again, according to Rabbah, the tumah balua is not matama. Technically, the uber should have no ability to be matama. Not the mother, it shouldn't have an ability to be matama, the midwife either. In the Mishnah, you see the midwife does become tama. It's not tumah deiraisa. All it is tumah midrabbanan. But when the Gemara brought this, the Gemara said that Rava said, I heard from Pumpadusai, who is Rabbi Yosef, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, who said that pshat in the Mishnah is Tumah Rabbanan. But he added a line. He said, "Loi tema libid Rabbi Akiva." Don't think the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva. In which case, the Mishnah would be telling me Tumah Deraisa. Rather, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yishmael, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, and the Mishnah means Tumah Rabbanan. So it says the Gemara, "My Rabbi Yishmael and my Rabbi Akiva." Who is this Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva? The time we learned to the Brayz B'chalash, you got plain asada. So the Gemara is going to bring several psukim now in the beginning of Parashas Chukas, the psukim that talk about Tumas Meis, Adam Kiyamus Ba'oil, psukim that talk about Parah Aduma, and the Gemara is going to bring drushes. When it says Tumas Meis, anyone that comes in contact with a mace that was al pnei hasada, it was on the open field. We learn from there, lahitzi ober b'meisha. Ober b'meisha is the opposite of being in an open, exposed area. It's not al pnei hasada. And as a result, if somebody touches an ober b'meisha, he's not tummy. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says, l'rabois goylo v'doifek. That no, v'chol ha-shiyiga al pnei hasada is not coming to be mema'it an ober b'meisha, but rather it's coming to be marba. What's it coming to be marba? The goyl and the doifek. The goyl is the top of the coffin. The doifek are the walls of the coffin, that they too have their own halacha of Tumas Meis. Says the Gemara, Bishmol, Goyle V'Doifik. How does Rabbi Shmuel know the halacha of Goyle V'Doifik? Hilchazik Mir Allah, he knows from halacha L'mesh Messina. He doesn't need this pasuk for that. Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't use V'Cholash Yigal Pnei Asada L'Hoitzi Ubi B'Mei Yisha. Obviously, he must have known from somewhere else that Uber B'Mei Yisha is Tamei. Because otherwise, how did he know that the pasuk is coming the Rabbi's Goyle V'Doifik? Maybe it's coming like Rabbi Yishmael suggested, Lahitzi Ubi B'Meisha. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Ubi B'Meisha Tamei B'Deraisa Minole. He must have known it from somewhere. It seems like he had an objective source that an Ubi B'Meisha is Tamei, and that's why he's learning the Cholash Yigal Pnei Asada, the Rabbi's Girl of the Day. So the Gemara says he did have a source. Amrav Oishia Amakra. It says Anegei B'Meis Nefesh, in that same parsha, and Rabbi Akiva learned as follows: Ezehu meis sheb nefesh al adam hevi oimer ze uber shebi meisha. So the pasuk says kol hanegeya b'meis b'nefesh al adam. So we've had a few drushes like this already this week. Kol hanegeya b'meis, someone touches a meis, that's b'nefesh al adam. Not comma. Kol hanegeya b'meis, which is b'nefesh adam. What does it mean? A mace that's inside a nefesh adam. Oh, must be an uber. And the pasuk says tamne, right? So says Rabbi Akiva, I'm a mufurish pasuk that an uber meisha is going to be tamne. Rabbi Yishmael, what is Rabbi Yishmael dash in that pasuk? He learns from v'chalash yigal pnei asad alahoytzi uber b'meisha. Rabbi Akiva seems to have a nice drasha. Hanegeya b'meis, which is b'nefesh adam. Hami boyle the revius tam of a mace. Come and teach me a different halacha that a revius tam of a mace is metama like the mace itself. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and again, mace benefesh adam. And the way Rabbi Shmuel darshened it was ezo nefesh al adam shemetama. What's an example of a nefesh adam that's not the adam itself, but it's the nefesh of the adam that has an ability to metama? Hevoim is a revius tam. So hamigeya b'mace benefesh, teaching me something, not a mace that's in a nefesh, but that the nefesh, if you have a sheer chashuv of the nefesh of a person, which is considered the dam of a person, the halach is you're going to be Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva dash in the pasuk that way? L'tamei. This is Rabbi Akiva l'shitasei, an often quoted Rabbi Akiva, because it comes up, this Rabbi Akiva does, not only when you're learning the halachas of Tumas Meis and Aholois and the end of Nazir, but every time the Gemara brings the shaila of Yesh Eim Mikra and Yesh Eim L'Mesiris, so there's a whole bunch of Mar Mekoymes that the Gemara always brings. This is one of them. Rabbi Akiva says, Afrofiyas Dam Haba Mishnei Mason Metama Ba'oil. That a revius dam of a mace is metama, but doesn't have to be from one mace. Even if it comes from two mace, it's metama. The time Rabbi Akiva, I mean, not revius dam of a mace, it's metama ba'oil. How do you know that if you have a revius dam combined from two mace? So one mace contributed a half a revius, another mace contributed a half a revius, for example. And now together you have the revius. How do you know it's Tomei Tumas Oil? Shenemer v'al kol nafshois mace lo yavoi nafshois lashin rabim shtei nefashois v'shir echad. So mace is a lashin yachid, nafshois is a lashin rabim, and we learn from there that two nefashois together kichtotsu one shir revius. The point is, being the Rabbi Akiva holds that the revius doesn't have to come from one mace, it can come from two mason, the way he darshin v'al kol nafshois mace lo yavoi, he can't darshin the pasik of hanoigeya b'mace b'nefesh that it's referring to Revias. Because that pasuk is written b'loshen yochid. It doesn't say nafshois, called nafshois meis. It says hanogei b'meis b'nefesh. And if Rabbi Akiva darshan that pasuk referring to Revias, Dam, Rabbi Akiva would have a stira. I would have one pasuk that says the Revias has to be from a meis b'nefesh yochid. I have another pasuk that says v'alkol nafshois meis v'yovei loshen rabbi. It's a stira. So it forced Rabbi Akiva to darshan the pasuk of hanogei b'meis b'nefesh differently. How did he darshan the pasuk? He darshan the pasuk not referring to a Revias Dam. That he knows from another pasuk. And there he even knows a bigger chiddush that the Revias Dam can come from two mason combined. Rather, what the pasuk is coming to teach me is that if you have a mace, b'nefesh, an uber, b'me'imai, the halacha is going to be, the bottom line is we have a machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, specifically with regards to an uber that died, Rachmana Litzlan, in the womb of its mother. Is it now Tomei Tumas Meis that it should trigger the beginning of Parshas Chukas? Or is it not Tomei Tumas Meis? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Tomei Tumas Meis. He learns it from the Pasuk, Hanegei B'meis B'nefesh, Ezeu Meisha B'nefesh, Shel Adam, Hevi Oymer Zeu Uba Shel Meim. And the halacha is that it is Metam. Rabbi Shmuel holds it's not Metam. He learns it from a Pasuk as well. V'chol Ashe Yigal Pnei Asada, L'hoitzi Uba B'mei Yisha. Meaning, we have a Shaila, that's the Sugya, Rabba, Rava, the Mishnah Mikvais. That's a more general Shaila. That's a Shaila that's Koil of all halachas of Tumah v'Tahira. Tumah Balua, Tahira Balua, Magas, Beis Astarim. These are very fundamental core sugyas as it relates to Tumah v'Tahira. But we also have a very local, a very specific machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva as it relates to an Uber, and it's based on psukim in the beginning of Parashas Chukas. When Pumpedisai, in other words, Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav Yud, the name of Shmuel, said that the Mishnah is not referring to Tumah d'Iraisa, but can also mean, meaning not necessarily Tumah d'Iraisa, it can also mean Tumah d'Rabbanan, and he wasn't referring to Rabin Rav in the Mishnah Mikvayis. He was alluding to this machloikis Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva, where we have a machloikis if an uber has an ability to be metamo. So at first glance, said Pumpadisai, you read the Mishnah in Chulanayin Aleph Amid Aleph, and you see that a midwife who touches a dead uber while it's in the rechem of the mother is going to be tameh. So it sounds like, oh, Rabbi Akiva. So that's he said, no. Loitem Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, of course, the Mishnah could be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva stimta. Stam Mishnah usually is alibid Rabbi Akiva. But it doesn't have to be Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah could even be Rabbi Shmuel. How could it be Rabbi Shmuel? Isn't that the grace of Shitas Rabbi Shmuel in the way he darshaned all the psukim in the beginning of Parashas Chukas, who held that an uber doesn't have an ability to be metama because it says v'chol hashiyga al pnei asad lahoitzi uber meyisha? Yeah, that's true on a biblical level. Mishnah doesn't mean tumah d'raisa. The Mishnah only means tumah d'rabbanan. Once again, Rava, and Rava said that once I heard from Pumpadisai that the Mishnah can mean tumah d'rabbanan. So he said, Rava, the Mishnah's not a kash on you either. Because even though Rava had a much more fundamental problem with the Mishnah, Rava holds Tumah Balua is never Metama. But just like we explained the Mishnah, Alibi the Rabbi Yishmael, who said that an Uber doesn't have an ability to be Metama, stating that the Mishnah is referring to a Tumah the Rabbanan, so too, as it relates to the more general issue, Alibi the Rabba of Tumah Balua, it's not a problem. Because at the end of the day, all the Mishnah means is to be the very soifrin, it's lav dafka Tumah Dei Raisa, could be Midei Raisa, you're right, doesn't have an ability to be Metama. Stating that, Mid Rabbanan, it will be Tommy. Talk to Mishnah Vaita. Behema hamikasha leled. A behema. It's not getting easier. That is in labor. Chev leled. Vahoitzi uber es yadoi. And then it stuck its hand out. Vichatcha. And the shoichet shechted the hand of the uber. So what's the halacha of that hand right now? Tzevi menachai. It's easy. Tzevi menachai. If you shecht, or you remove, you cut, you sever one aver of a live animal, the halacha save him in a chay. At this point, the animal was alive. I mean, it's mekasha leled. It's having a rough day, but it's alive. So behema mekasha leled v'hoitzi uberes yadoi v'chotcha v'achak achshochet asimoi. And afterwards, you shechted the mother. So the halacha is habasar tahar. The basar is tahar. The aver is Aser, obviously, it's Eve Menachai, but everything else is going to be okay. But the Chiddush is that not only is the rest of the animal Mutter, Ba'achila, but it's also Tahar, as opposed to being Tameh. And that's because we know that Nevela impacts an animal in two ways. Number one, it makes it Aser Ba'achila. Number two, it also makes it Tameh. Tumas Nevela is one of the Tumas that the Torah talks about. So Nevela comes up when you're learning Yerideya, because it's an Issa V'Heter. Nevela is Aser Bachila. Nevela also comes up when you're learning Tumah V'Tahira, because Nevela is also Tameh. Stating that, the mother is
and the uber that remained inside the womb, being that it had a kasher shechita, is not going to be tameh. It's only the aver, which is going to be aser, and that's going to be a problem. Stating that, the Mishnah is saying a chiddush. And the reason the Mishnah is saying a chiddush is because being that the mother came in contact with the aver, well, that's the assumption anyways, so why don't you say that the aver, which was cut, which is aver menachai, is now metama the mother? Eva ben Achai is tameh just like Nevela is tameh. So why don't we say it's matama the mother? So Rashi says the reason is she'ein behema mekabel is tumah michaim. You don't have to worry about that. It's not nogeya. It's na. It's not an issue because it could touch it from today till tomorrow. A live animal doesn't have an ability to become tameh. A live human being could become tameh. Obviously, tumah v'tayra is dealing with humans for the most part. But as it relates to live animals, they can never become tameh, thus this is not going to be a problem. What happens if shachted the zimba v'akachot? What if first you shachted the mother and afterwards you cut that limb? So you shachted the mother while there was one hand that was outside of the mother. So number one, we know that that hand is also bachilah. That's the first mission. Shailas, if it's chzira, there it's machlek, it's rav and rabbi Yechim. But if it was outside at the time of the shechita, everybody agrees that's pashit, that lach is it's going to be also bachilah. So now, this one aver, which is aser b'achila, is in contact with the mother. So the halacha is habasa magen avela. The rest of the animal now is going to be magen avela. And the reason is because once you shecht the mother, if it's still touching this aver that's aser b'achila, so then the aver, being that it didn't become muta b'achila, was an avela. If it's an avela, it's also tameh. The animal, once you shecht it, the mother that is tameh. So if you shecht the mother, so now you have to be worried about Tumas Nevela, because the mother came in contact with that one Aver that had Tumas Nevela. The Chachamim say Magna Trefe Shchut. No, it's true that that one Aver is not is Aser Bachila. But even though it's Aser Bachila, it doesn't have an ability to give off Tumas Nevela. If it's Aser, doesn't that by definition mean this Tumas Nevela? No, just like by Trefa. A Trefa that had a Shchita doesn't have Tumas Nevela. Right, what's the primary difference between Nevela and Trefa? Nevela also has Tuma. We spoke about this many times. Trefa doesn't have Tuma. We'll see with Rabbanan, maybe there's Tuma. But Midei Raisa, there's no Tuma. Sabina Midei Raisa, there's no Tuma if you shecht a Trefa. As long as it's a Kasha Shechita, you can have one of the Yudchas Trefas. So it doesn't matter. The Halacha is not going to be Tuma Midei Raisa. So say the Chachamim that it's true this one Aver that was outside of the mother never became Mutra Al Yidei the Shechita. But at the same time, I don't look at it as a Shtik Nevela. L'may Nafkemina, it doesn't have an ability to be matama. Are you going to tell me if it's an aser b'achila, doesn't that by definition mean it's an avela? No, there's precedence for that. The precedence for that is going to be the treifa. In other words, mam motzinu b'treifa sheshchitas mitarasa av shchitas behemet etarasa aver. It's a mam motzinu. You find it by treifa, so maybe it's going to be the same over here. Amar them Rameyer. So Rameyer, who argued, Rameyer said, no, if this aver is aser b'achila, I look at it as nevela. I don't look at it as treifa. He said, how are you comparing the aver to treifa? Lo yim tiara shchitas treifa oisa dover shagufa. I understand a trefa, when you shecht a trefa, being that you're shechting the animal itself, so I understand why the shechita, even though it's not going to be matter, the trefa b'achila, because at the end of the day it's a trefa, but at the same time I understand why it's metired from tumas nevela. But tetaires or ever dovesh in a gufa? But this is already a little bit different. This is different because this is the aver of the uber, and being that it's the aver of the uber, maybe the shechit of the mother doesn't have an ability to be metaher, an aver of an uber, which is a guf achar, to say that it shouldn't have tumas nevela. So it's not a perfect tushta, Rameh told the Chachamim. I understand you find precedence for the idea of shechting a dover aser and at the very least removing the tumas nevela. But that's when it's the same guf. Being that over here we're dealing with the aver of an uber, which is a different goof, maybe over here it's going to be different. Either way, one thing you see from the Mishnah, you see that if you shecht the trefa, even though it doesn't make the trefa mutav achila, possibly the trefa lo yisachelo, but at the very least, it's metara from Tumas Nevela. Says the Gemara, I mean, the trefa shechitas metara also. Why do you know that a trefa is tahar? Meaning, how do you know that when you shecht the trefa, the shechita works at the very least? And if anything, the Gemara says, I can argue, behemet me asur b'achila. A non-kosher animal is asur b'achila. Av trefa asur b'achila. Trefa, although it's a kosher animal, it's also asur b'achila. Ma behemet me in shechitas metara also, just like behemet
Tmeya. Shechita doesn't work to be mitairit from Tumas Nevelo. Av treifa lo titareno. So too, the same should be true for treifa. Right, somebody shecht a chazer. So it's still going to be Tami Tumas Nevelo. Shechita doesn't work. So why does the shechita work for a treifa? So the Gemara says, no, lo yim amrit bebehema tmeya shle hoysel shas ha-kosh. Behema is different, because it never was kosher. Tami ha treifa shle hoysel shas ha-kosh. A treifa wasn't born a treifa. Since it had a shas ha-kosh, you always find the svar in shas. Shas ha-kosh is always a good thing. It's a maila. So being that it had a shas ha-kosh, so even though right now it's us, it's not like a behemoth tmeya. That's why the shechita is going to work at the very least be mitayr from Tumas Nevelo. But the Gemara says, Tulacha Masha Hevesa, take back what you brought. That's an expression. Hareishanol, the treifa min abete. What if the baby was born a treifa? Minayin. So what would be the halacha? Are you going to tell me it's different? So he said, no, it's still different. Because lo yimam behemoth tmeya, shekeini b'mina shechita. By behemoth tmeya, it's never possible. That entire species is excluded from the halachas of shechita. Tmeya b'treifa, sheish b'mina shechita, a different svara, right? But at the end of the day, treifa, right? This animal happens to be a treifa. But most animals are not treifas, right? We know there's a roiv behemoths that are sheiris, that are not treifas. So you have the majority of that aren't treifas, a yesh b'mina shechita. That's why, even for this one, where the shechita doesn't work to be matrit b'achila, but at the very least, the shechita is going to work to be matrit. Says the Mishnah, one final halacha, ben shmoina chai, ein shechitasi mitaras. Very big chiddush. If an animal gives birth to a baby, that's a ben shmoina, it was born in the proverbial eighth month, meaning it was born premature, the understanding and the assumption is that this baby, animal, will not be able to live. As a result, it's viewed when it's born as an avela. So even if it's a kosher animal, and you now do a shechita, ein shechitasoi mitarosoi, leficha ein b'minoi shechita, because there's no such thing as this premature animal being able to live. Thus, we look at it as an avela as soon as it's born. And even if you do a proper shechita afterwards, the shechita is not going to work. You can see from the Mishnah, the kind of dafin that are that we have ahead of us over the next few days. But either way, exhale. So just to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about yesterday. So we've been learning sugyas that deal with a behema hamekashalele, then an isha that has an uber, me'inyin le'inyin, ba'isa inyin, shaloi ba'isa inyin, different sugyas related to an uber. So we digressed yesterday and we spoke a little bit about abortion in halacha, meaning is it okay for a woman to kill a fetus that she is carrying? So we said that at first glance, as the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, Daf Mem Dalem and Aleph, the Mishnah over there talks about different halachas that go into effect as soon as a child is born. Tinik ben yoy mechad is metame beziva, it's yinoichol, it's manchol, halachas of yuvamis. One of the things the Mishnah says is, vahar goy chayev, that if somebody kills this tinik, he's going to be chayev misa. It sounds like from the Mishnah that only once the tinik is a ben yoy mechad is there halacha that there's a chayev misa if somebody kills the tinik. But up until the point that this child is born, there is no chayev misa. Stating that, there's Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Nezayin, where the Gemara was discussing the halachas of Bnei Noach. We know Bnei Noach doesn't have tayog mitzvahs, he has sheva mitzvahs. One of the sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach is shvichas damim. And the Gemara over there brings a braisa, it was found in Sifra the Beirav, where the braisa said different halachas with regards to dinei shvichas damim as it pertains to a Bnei Noach. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru said this braisa that they're neherogin afal ubar, that if a Bnei Noach would kill a fetus, he would kill an uber. The halach is he would be nerak shvichas domim because he violated one of the seven mitzvahs bnei nerak. So on the one hand, says Taisus, having Mishnah Masechtas Nida Daf Mdalim and Alf, that sounds like only a tinik ben yoy mechad ahergei chayv. And here I have a Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin Daf Mzayin and Beis that says even a ben noyach is chayv misa for killing an uber. So says Taisus, at first glance I would say loikasha. The Mishnah Masechtas Nida is talking to Yidden, and the Braisa in Masechtas Sanhedrin is talking to bnei noyach. The problem is if that's the case, it comes out that a ben noyach is more chamer than a yid, and we know the Gemara says Kula Talmuda, Chulin Lamed Gimel, Sanhedrin, and the Sugis of Bnei Noach, Mi Ikam Midi Dili Yisrael, Shari Ulevi Kechav and Masr. It's not possible that a Yid should be more Chamer than a Yid should be more Kuladik than a Goy. So if that's the case, if a Goy is Chayef for killing a Goy, how could a Yid not be Chayef? Says Tosfos, you have to say that it's true. Really, really, a Yid is not going to be Chayef for killing an Uber. It's a Mefurish Gemara. But at the same time, says Tosfos, one line, Mikol Makoim, however, Nehida Potter, Loishari.
It's true. You're potter. And that's what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nida. That's only Tinik Ben Yom Echad, a Harger is going to be Chayv. But as it relates to being Mutter or Aser, that's Pashat, it's going to be Aser. Why is it going to be Aser? Because Mi'akamidi, and if you find that by a Ben Noyach it's Aser, it means that by definition, it has to be an Aser as well. Now the truth is a very detailed and lengthy discussion in the Paiskin, how exactly to walk away from Tosfos. Because all Tosfos said is, and it's very, very subtle language, the Yisrael Enoi Nehra, Nehida Potter, Mikomakam Loishari. What does Loishari mean? What does Loishari mean? It's Asamidei Raisa? Is it Shvichas Damim? Is it Yaharuga Valyavar? Is it at the very least Abizrayu the Shvichas Damim? Does it fall into one of the Ten Commandments? Is it considered Loisirtsach? Like, how do you view this Mikomakam Loishari? And the truth is, it's a discussion of Paiskim. Some Paiskim say Taisis means yeah. He means it's Abizrayu the Shvichas Damim. And Enoi Nerak just means the Bezdin can't kill the person. But there's going to be a Chiv Misa B'di Yishamayim. If you want a nice Maramakam, take a look in the Meshach Chachma in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. But either way, that Midei Shamayim, yeah, could be the person's even Chayv Misa B'di Yishamayim. There's opinions that are in the complete opposite of the spectrum who hold that Taisis just means Loishari. Meaning it's not mutter. It's asamid rabbanon. Taisus held was asamid ayraisa, you would have said it's asamid ayraisa. There are others that argue even a bigger chiddush, and that is that the Rambam clearly did not hold of this svar of miyakamidi. I'm sorry, from different places is Meirich, that the Rambam didn't hold of miyakamidi. And some want to say that according to the Rambam, who doesn't even hold of miyakamidi, could be there won't even be an Issa. But the point is, Taisus leaves us saying clearly it's asur to kill an ober, but at the same time, Taisus lashon is A, unclear, and B, very, very soft. Taisus says, Nehida Potter, Mikom Maka, doesn't even say Aser. Loishari. It's not Mutter. And this is important, Taisus' language, because it plays itself out in some of the Halacha L'maisa Shailas, where sometimes Rabbanim actually have to sit down and opine whether it's okay, Halacha L'maisa, to do an abortion. Either way, yesterday we spoke out a tshuva from the Chavis Yar, a tshuva from Yaakov Emden and Shailas Yaivitz, and then a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein in Chayesh Mishpat. The specific shaila that the Chavis Yor was asked was with regards to an Eishes Ish that was Mazana, and then she found out that she was pregnant, and she wanted to abort the child. And the question was, is it okay to abort the child or not? Chavis Yor said, I don't know what the fact that she was an Eishes Ish that was Mazana has to do with anything. I mean, to me, all it can mean is the child's going to be a Mamzer. A Mamzer is Ki Yisrael L'Chaldover. In fact, the Gemara says in the end of Masechtas Hori is that Mamzer Talmud Chacham is Koydim L'Kain Gadol HaMaaretz. So if you're asking me, a mamzer could be very, very chashuv. So why should it make any difference? So the Chavis Yar said, I'm looking at the shaila as if it was the shaila that was presented to us. Is it okay to abort the child? He wrote a tshuva and said, absolutely, positively, no. Yaakov Emden in a tshuva said that shelas chacham is chatzi tshuva. He says, no, I think that when the shaila asked about an HS that was mezanes, he was coming from a very specific angle. And the Shailas Yaivitz went ahead and wrote an unbelievable tshuva where he said that, of course, the Chavis Yar is right. It's not okay to just go ahead and to abort the child. However, in a case where an HS was mezanes, there's a svara maybe why it should be okay. Not maybe. Rabbi Yaakov Emden paskin that it's okay. And that is because Eishes Ish, that was Mezad B'Zman Shemei Sad Mikdash HaYikayim, was Chayv Mises Bezdin. And if she was carrying a child, they would have killed her together with the child. So you see from there that this mother and the child are Gavras Ketolas. If they are Chayv Mises Bezdin, they have a din of a Gavra Ketola, then there's no Issa to kill them. They can kill themselves. It's Karav L'Schar, maybe even a mitzvah of Yaakov Emden says for them to kill themselves. But the bottom line is, it's not Shvichas Damim. So he says, if it's not Shvichas Damim, maybe Bekahai Gavna, where the Uber is the God of Ketol, because she's part of the mother, who's Chai Mises Bez, and Bezmach, she would have been killed. Maybe in this case, it's going to be fine. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I agree with the truth of the Chavis Yar, that it's not okay, primarily based on a Tosfos and Chul and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, albeit soft language. But it's a Tosfos. At the end of the day, no one's going to argue with a Tosfos. But as it relates to this particular shaila, I think there's a svara, there's a nuance to be matter. We said that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in the tshuva brought the Chavis Yar, and then he brought Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he said that even though Rabbi Yaakov Emden was from the Gedoyli Olam, Ein Lahashkiach al tshuva zu klal, you can't look at this tshuva. And then Rabbi Moshe, again, we said yesterday that it's a sharf tshuva. Sharf on Rav Moshe standards. Rav Moshe's tshuvas are so soft, so it's a little sharper than a typical Rav Moshe tshuva. But either way, Rav Moshe said that the reason he's speaking sharply and dramatically is because of what recently has been going on in democratic countries, referring, of course, to the Supreme Court decision in 1973, Roe versus Wade, where they legalized abortion in the United States of America. And Rav Moshe felt it's a pirtza gedayla, because every abortion is shvichas damim. And I don't, the fact that there's a tshuva like this from Rav Yaakov Emden, in is, you know, creates a little bit of a slippery slope and a kalos in this whole area of halacha, and I have to stop it. And as a result, Rav Moshe said, I'm saying what I'm saying, ein lashkiach al tshuva zu klal, and we have to stop it. Stating that, there's a lot more to this tshuva, and really, the second part of this begins, I think, with a tshuva in the Shailos of Tshuva's Rav Pa'alin, which was written by the Ben Ish Chai. So the Ben Ish Chai wrote a Shailos of Tshuva's. He has a few Shailos of Tshuva's for him. One of them is called Rav Pa'alin. This is a Chelek Dalet. It's an Evan Ezer Sheila Dalet. And the Shaila that was presented to the Ben Ish Chai is the same exact Shaila that was presented to the Chavis Yar, and it's the same exact Shaila that Rabbi Yaakov Emden discussed in his Tshuva and Shailos Yaivetz. Eishas Ishe Zinsa Venes Abra Biznos Im Muteres Lishtois Dover Shetapalu Uber Achashak Farhukra Venigmar Bebitna Sheyesh Lechamisha Chadosha Bebitna. So there was a woman, she was 5 months pregnant, she was carrying a child, but Rachmana Litzlan, the child was a mamzer, because she was an Eishas Ish, that was Mezana. And the question that was asked to the Ben Ish Chai, Baghdad, was, is it okay for this woman to abort the child, or was it not okay to abort the child? Yoreinu Mayreinu. Tshuva. B'dover azeh, says the Ben Ish Chai, any roitzer l'hasha b'derech hayra. Lo'y le'issa v'lo'y le'heter. He says, I'm not going to tell you it's aser, I'm not going to tell you it's muter. Rak a'atik lochem mashe matzasi b'tshuva yisu achroinim shedibru b'zeh. All I'm going to do is I'm going to present to you what the Kadmonim already spoke about. And there's three paragraphs in the tshuva. The first paragraph, he says, v'hu ki agoyin chavis yorzal, b'sim elamad alf nishol keyotze b'zeh mamash. And the chavis yor came out, that it's aser. The second paragraph. V'ro yisi la goyin Rabbi Yaakov Emden zatzal. B'sheilas yayivitz chelak alf simim em gimel. Shinishal, he was asked the same exact question. And he came out that it was mutter. So immediately says the Ben Ish Chai, I'm not going to opine, but I'll present the facts to you. Number one, there's a chavis yor that said it's aser. Okay, so there's a tzad lesser. There's a sheilas yayivitz that said it's mutter. There's a tzad to be mater. And then he adds a third paragraph. And this is very, very important. He says, V'oid, son no einechu re'eh, mashakasa maritzal, chelak galav simin tzadik tes, b'isha Yisraelis, there was a isha Yisraelis, mutalis asik ima b'refuois, kadesh tapil, im yesh bezel letzorichim. He says, the marit, who was a kadmon, one of the early achroinim, he said, he wrote a tshuva where he discussed a woman who had a tzorich. A tzorich. There was no pekuach nefesh. There was no roidev, like the Rambam we spoke at yesterday. But there was just a tzorich for her to abort the child. And the Marit wrote a whole tshuva discussing whether it's okay or whether it's not okay. He says he wrote this in Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadik Tes. V'ayim mashakosav oy besimen tzadik zayin. Either way, nimtzu besimen tzadik tes matel lehedi letzorichim. And he says in Simen Tzadik Tes, I think he said it's mutter v'nira. So based on that, diyesh pischoim pele baldin loymer. Then in this case, if this Eishes Ish is going to give birth to this child, it's not her husband's child, the child's going to be a mamzer, there's going to be a tremendous embarrassment for the family. Could be choshev zeh tzorich gadol. I think that maybe is a tzorich gadol. So in addition to having Rabbi Yaakov Emden that you can maybe rely on to be materit, that was Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva, gavra katola, but at the same time there's another sniffler out there, and that is the marit, where the marit said that if there's a tzorich gadol for the mother, you could abort a child. Phenomenal chiddush, says the Ben Ish Chai. I think this is a tzorich gadol. Why? Again, nira, quote, the eish pischein pele baldin loy mar hechad ikab gam mishpacha u bezoyoin vichel Hashem im yishara uber v'leit hapaloy say choshev zeh tzorich gadol. Either way, it's a short tshuva. He says the kvar amarti. Bottom line, he writes she'in ani moisev v'shelibed avazeh. I'm not telling you anything on my own. Ve'ini megaladaiti. I'm not going to tell you. I mean, he had an opinion, but he said ve'ini megaladaiti v'rak hitzati lefnei hashoy ladvor maniskel hil ve'yira divrei. Show my makoimus to a chacham for who you're like my vassalis, and I'd rather somebody else tell you what to do. Hashem yisbarach berachem of yore inenu ba'ertei rasei amen keini rasei. That's the tshuva. So the Ben Ish Chai was presented with the same exact shaila the Chavis Yor Yaakov Emden was, and he didn't want to write a tshuva. He said, "What I'll do is I'll present facts to you. On the one hand, there's a Chavis Yor and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. We know that machloikus. So the Chavis Yor was machmer, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was mekel. But I could be mitzvah of another svara lahakel," said the Ben Ish Chai, and that is the Marit, where the Marit said, "Letzorech ha'em, you could be matter killing the Uber. This is a tzorech. There's a pekam mishpacha. There's a bezoyoin. There's a chil Hashem. There's tzorech over here. I mean that the tzorech over here. I think these would be svaris to be matter as well." The Tzitz Eliezer, Rab Yehuda Eliezer Waldenberg, wrote three tshuvos, about abortion. The first tshuva that he wrote is a chelik tes. The second tshuva that he wrote is in chelik yud gimel. It's simin kuf beis. The third tshuva that he wrote is in chelik yud dalid. It's simin kuf alef. I think it's kedai to go through the tshuva that he wrote in chelik yud gimel and the tshuva that he wrote in chelik yud dalid. Both of those tshuvas were written to Professor Dr. Mayer, who was the menal haklali of the Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. Either way, Rav Waldenberg, in addition to being one of the Gedalia Apoiske, right, everyone knows the Shalos Teshuvos, Tzitz Eliezer, but he was also considered an expert in medicine, in Yoni Refua, medical ethics, and a lot of the protocols that are followed in the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael followed the guidance of Rav Waldenberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So either way, this Dr. Mayer was asking Rav Waldenberg shailos about abortion and halacha and exactly how to deal with, you know, different questions that come up in the hospital. The shaila that he wrote on in Chelek Yugimel was with regards to a woman who was told that she's carrying a baby that has Tay-Sachs disease. Now, we do Dar Yisharim to try to prevent Tay-Sachs, but, you know, this was a child that's carrying, that had, Rachmana Litzlan, the Tay-Sachs disease, and he goes on to describe in detail the symptoms of Tay-Sachs, and the metzias is that the child that's born can't live past the age of 4 or 5. The child is going to live with tremendous Yisurim, and the shaila that was asked was, is it okay to abort this child, or is it not okay to abort this child? So Rav Waldenberg, in the beginning of the tshuva, gives you the end of the tshuva, so we'll do the same thing. Lamais Rav Waldenberg comes down and he says it's mutter. He said not only is it mutter, he said it's mutter up until the 7th month. So up until the 7th month of pregnancy, it would still be okay to abort this child. So what's the pshat? What's the svara? I mean, there's no risk to the mother. There's no issue of roidif over here. You don't have Rabbi Yaakov Emden Svara of being Mizana. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, I'm going to base this on the tshuva of the Ben Ishchai, who based his Svara on a tshuva of the Marit, which says that if there's a tzorech gadol to go ahead and do an abortion, it's something that's going to be okay. Says Rav Waldenberg, but first we need to clarify a few things. Barer u'pashet adover balocha. The Yisrael ain't an eregal u'bar. That a yid is not chayiv misa for killing an uber. U'bilvad deyo yichid is soivim ha-poiskim she'isr mi'o. Yes, most poiskim hold. There's a das yochin not the way, but most poiskim hold is an isr. Avol das harbe me'a poiskim she'isr eni yelo mid rabbanon. Oy, shu rak mishum geder. It's only a geder. Mishum binyone sholoylam. Avol machmas ibu nefasha is ein nidud klal. According to many poiskim. And he said it's for that reason that the marit was matal was from tzorech gadol. Because if he held it was real shvichas nom over here, how would he have ever been matter? So based on that, says the Tzitz Eliezer, I think from Kain Haga ba'atzmecha, ha'im yesh tzorech tzar v'kev yoyser gadol mizeh shal nidunenu, at sheyigram le'em bihivoleid lo yitzur kazeh, shekulay oimrim yisurim u'machoivim u'misasei batuach b'meshach mispar shanim, ve'enei ha'hoirim ro'ois v'kolois be'en lokel yadam lo yeshia, u'mitayin goes on to explain graphically the yisurim that this family is going to have to endure because of the state of the fears that this child is going to be in. He says that this outcome of the birth of this child, the side effects, the tzorech, is much worse than what the Ben Ishchai discussed in his tshuva. He says there's never been a tshuva written that ever described side effects of a leida that can compare to the side effects that, Rachmana Litzlan, this family is going to have to endure as a result of this child being born. So it says that Tzitz Eliezer, it's pasha to me, based on the Marit who said, L'shem tzorech ha'em you could be mater, based on the Ben Ishchai who said it. And by the way, when he goes through this, he says that if you medayik very carefully in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva, that toich dvarav, one of the things Rabbi Yaakov Emden said was, I quote, V'gam ba'ubber kosher ha'yitzad l'hok. So he says, even Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Shailas Yaivitz already alluded to this. He says, the bottom line is, I think it's something that's okay, and it being that this is something that's okay, bottom line is, he was matarit. And he said it's going to be okay up until the 7th month. Now, the truth is that the fact that he said it's muta up until the 7th month seems like ichidish unto itself. And he doesn't really support it. He doesn't have a makar to that. In fact, that even in the Supreme Court ruling, Roe v. Wade, so when they said that abortion is legal, so what, up until what point is abortion legal? So the language that was used, although it's a little bit unclear, is up until the point of fetal viability, which most commentaries of the Supreme Court ruling understand to be somewhere between 22 and 24 months. So this is in the 5th or 6th month. 22, 24 weeks. It's 5th to 6th month. Here we have Rav Waldenberg, who said up until the 7th month it's going to be mutter. This is more mekel than Roe versus Wade. What's the pshat? Because again, Rav Waldenberg will tell you that 22 to 24 weeks, and fetal viability, this is all svaras krasius. It's rumen svaras, like the Chavis Yar said. These are all baich svaras. It doesn't do anything. Fetal viability. He looked at it from the halacha perspective, and from the halacha perspective, the way Rav Waldenberg saw it was, is that by the 7th month there are certain evarim of the fetus that are fully developed, and he felt that up until the point that some evarim are fully developed, it's still going to be okay. Once there are at least some evarim that are fully developed, that's when it's not okay. That's his svara, his logic, and as a result, he said, up until the 7th month, I'm going to be mad to this. Now, this is the tshuva that Rav Waldenberg wrote in Chelek Yud Gimel, and it was with regards to Tay-Sachs. And again, Tay-Sachs is a very unique diagnosis, and that we know for sure that the child is going to have geferlichi yisurim. The child will not be able to live a productive life, and the child is going to live, he writes in this tshuva, up until the age of approximately 4. And it was based on that he said it's going to be okay. But there was another tshuva that he wrote, and it's sort of a follow-up tshuva, and this tshuva is not a chelik yud gimel. This tshuva is a chelik yud dalid, and it's simen kuf aleph. So the first one is chelik yud gimel, simen kuf beis, 102. This one is a chelik yud dalid, it's simen kuf aleph, it's 101. And again, this was written to Dr. Mayer as well. And this shiloh is a little bit different. This shiloh was with regards to a woman who did a sonogram, and they found different diagnoses. I mean, you have to know the specific diagnosis, but it's not nearly as chomer as Tay-Sachs. With Tay-Sachs, he said he wrote his tshuva ready, chelik yud gimel. So this was, what if it's not so chomer? What if it's not on that level? Meaning it could be something that's going to take a tremendous toll on the family, and the child will definitely have challenges, some of which will affect perhaps the life expectancy of the child as well. But the point is, it's not on the level of Tay-Sachs. And this was the shiloh, is it okay or not okay? Now, it's actually interesting, because there were two shilohs that were asked. The first shiloh that Dr. Mayer asked was, would it be okay to abort a child like this? And the second shiloh that he said was, assuming it's not okay, and that's certainly the assumption, then what should I allow these sonograms and these tests that are done to even be done? The reason not is because maybe there's lifnei even loisita michshol. Because maybe if we're going to do the test for a secular woman who doesn't keep das Torah, so maybe I have to be concerned that she's going to find out that this child that she's carrying is, you know, it's going to be a tremendous challenge, and she may elect to do a legal abortion in the state of Israel. So that was his shiloh. Is there even a lifnei iver component? Meaning im timtzo loimar that you can't abort such a child. So maybe I have to worry. This is a hospital that's being run up in Chukei Atayra. So maybe we have to worry. You can't even do these tests. Because maybe these tests are going to lead to Lifnei Iver. So as it relates to the Lifnei Iver, says Rav Waldenberg, something we spoke about in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin. And that is, the Achreinim say, the Chasam Sofer says in Yerideya Simen Yotes, that the only time this Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol is if you know 100%, it's just Yishmak, the Teres Chayim, how the place can bring these lumdas and these svaras that we learn together to real life. He says, the only time you have to be worried about this is if you know 100% sure that an Avera is going to be done. But if you don't know 100% that the Avera is going to be done, then there's no problem of Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol. So said Rav Waldenberg, do you know for sure that the Avera is going to be done? Number one, you're going to take the test, and Ruba the Ruba of children, and the test comes out fine. So Metzah Sharing is going to be fine when you do the test. And based on that, you don't have to worry, because most likely it is not even going to be a shiloh. Now, there is a miut of times that there is a shiloh. Maybe this person will want to abort the child. Not every person elects to do an abortion, obviously. And then see, even if they decide, this is what he wrote, that they want to do an abortion, maybe the abortion will be mutter. Because I'm not telling you unequivocally that it's aser. Unbelievable. He said, in fact, that every single time a woman is carrying the child and they take tests and it comes back that there may be some shiloh with the health of the child, ask a shiloh, and maybe it's going to be okay. Says Rav Waldenberg, you hear what I'm telling you? He writes so beautifully. He says, hidgashti lichtoif. He says, I was very careful. Hidgashti with a dalid. Dagush, right? I emphasize. She'ein l'kavui b'zeh ha'iraz ha'teklot. Meaning, I told you ask a shayla. Because although I can't tell you unequivocally, like I did in Chelek Yud Gimel regarding the Tay-Sachs disease, that it's mutter, but as it relates to, I can't tell you it's aser either. Because sometimes it's going to be mutter. Why would it sometimes be mutter? And Rav Waldenberg chazes over the tshuva that he wrote in Chelek Yud Gimel.
albeit much more bekitzer, the abridged version. And he says, because I already told you, in Chelek Yugimel, that if there's a Tzorech Gadol, based on a one-liner of Yaakov Emden, and a tshuva from the Rav Palim, the Ben Ishchai, and the tshuvas of the Marit, and Tzadik Zion, and Tzadik Tes, tell a Tzorech Gadol, you're allowed to go ahead and do this. So if that's the case, this could be a case of Tzorech Gadol as well. And he brings a story, he says, that happened with him, where there was a young couple that came to him, and he said they had two children that were born with some diagnosis, and they both died. And after the second child died, the woman, the mother, was very traumatized. And as a result, she was afraid to have any other children. And she didn't want to be with her husband, Bederech Ishus. And it was affecting their Shalom Bayis. And the whole family was falling apart. And something very, very terrible was happening. He says, they came to him to talk to him. So Valdeburg said like this. He says, you know what I told him? I says, you should try to have another child. And you should go for the test. And if it comes back that it's not okay, I'll be mocked with the abortion. That's what he did to save the family. And he says, Lamaisa, she became pregnant. And they went and they took the test. And the child lived. And it's a gezintekind. He said, but it all worked because of my Yetzer. So he says, I'm telling you, was this not a Tzorech Gadol? So he writes in his tshuva. Unbelievable. Is this not a Tzorech Gadol? I saved the family. So of course this was a Tzorech Gadol. He says, either way. Then he says that somebody told him, he writes this in parentheses, that somebody told him that maybe there's a cheshbon of Alpi Kabbalah not to do this. He says, somebody told him that Alpi Kabbalah, there's an idea that when children are born with certain, you know, illnesses, loyaleinu, that it could be in the ulamas, these neshamas, the special neshamas, and they have a tikkun. So, you know, maybe you're not supposed to get involved in neshama digazachin. So maybe let the child be born. And what do you, if David still wants this family to have this child, why are you starting up with that? So he says it's true. He's not arguing with that, but he says you can never mix and match Kabbalah and Halacha. Halacha l'chud and Kabbalah l'chud. And for that, he tells Sua, Tshuva's Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer's Tshuva is actually a fascinating Tshuva. It was written to the Trister Ruff, where apparently it was far away. He comes back to the Shtot and there was a Kabbalah scholar. Everybody came to greet the Ruff, the Rebbe, the Meir Tzedek, the Dayan, the Bezdin, and they all came to him. And he comes, and it was apparently he'd come from overseas. And he walks, they make this big Suda, and at the Suda, he gets up and he makes a bracha. And there was a big tumult. People started getting very angry at the Ruff. They said, Rebbe, if you don't make a goymal at night, you don't make it at night. So they will love them. They, what do you mean? Why? I bought three chandelites. Can I get the carbon tied? The carbon you couldn't bring at night. Only by your Nabal Islands. He says, how can you bench a goymal? And besides, the minig Yisrael is you do it when you get an aliyah. You get an aliyah, you know, you're Hagba or Galila, and then you go ahead and you bench a goymal. At least somebody else gets, right? It's done in front of a Sefer Torah. It says, you're going connected the minig of Klai Yisrael. And then these chevra told the Rav, and by the way, when we're on the topic of the Rebbe, going Kenegat a Minig, I've seen you do other things so like Kenegat a Minig. Because apparently the Rav had a nephew that was on his Bezdin and they were Masad the Gittin together. You're not allowed to be Masad the Gittin together. Either way, the Trist the Rav sent the Shail to the Chassam Sofer. You want to know from the Chassam Sofer, am I wrong what I'm doing? Am I not right what I'm doing? So either way, the Chassam Sofer first wrote a tshuva about benching a Gadol at night. Then he wrote a tshuva about having your nephew as being Masad you get, which Chassam Sofer held was wrong. He said that's not something you're allowed to do. He gave him very stark at Haychacha. He said that's not the right thing to do. But then at the end, he writes like this. He says, I want you to know that Minhagim, you know, what the Olam is saying, that if it's true that you know, you can't be a Mezalzel of Minhagim. Minhagim is a very important thing. And he says he talks about it all the time. That's what the Chassam Sofer wrote. But he said, one thing I will tell you, that if they were timing, that the Minhagim that you were violating were more in the world of Kabbalah, meaning you were following the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, but what you were doing wasn't ois kahalten in halacha. Listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. He says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, im nelamim loyavoy. He said, when it comes to nelamim, play on words, it comes to Kabbalah loyavoy, you can't mix it together with halacha. V'chein ani oimer, kol ha-ma'arev divrei Kabbalah, im halacha is apsukos, chayev mishum zereya kelayim. He's chayef a kalayim. You're mixing and matching. You're mixing kalayim. Pentukta shamalei azer ashat tizra. So that's not something you're allowed to do. So it says it's Tzitz Eliezer. I'm not. Of course it's true. And these neshamas are hichad or hoibin neshamas. But you ask me a shayla in halacha. I'm writing a tshuva. And as it relates to halacha, you can't be ma'ar of these things. The bottom line is, this is what Rav Waldenberg wrote. Rav Waldenberg said that as it relates to the Tay-Sachs disease, he said it was mutter up until the seventh month, beyond the state of quote unquote fetal viability. As it relates to other diagnoses, yes. To ask a shayla, and the shayla has to know the family, has to be ma'ayin, but the point is there are times when it's going to be okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein, after he brings Rav Yaakov Emden's tshuva,
and says, Sharile Mori the Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Ve'en la'ashkiach al tshuvasoizu. He says, Boche, I'm skipping. Nishtoimanti, I was amazed. Beroisi tshuva michacham echad beretz Yisrael. When I saw a tshuva from a chacham echad, he doesn't want to say who it was. Hanichtav le'menal beis ha'cholim Shari Tzedek. It was written to the menal, the CEO of Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. V'nitfas bechuberes as yodid gimel, which is, by the way, a giveaway, because who else has Chelek Yud Gimel in the Shilas Tshuva? So Ramayshu wanted you to know who it was, but he didn't want to mention his name. It says it's written in Chelek Yud Gimel. Hamater hayladosh al yedei pchinas haroifim kshu oiv uber yoiser migimel chadashim more than 3 months. Shauber b'machlas teisak slapiloi umitzad zehiktim. He was machdim sheetzam arigas ubarim hu laharbi poiskin rachmid rabot va'afim hu medai raiso rachmishum geder binyonish aloylo avol machmas ibun nafashos enidut kla vehevi marit hatshuva the simin tzadik tes hamater v'loy hisker. But what he failed to mention, did Rav Aldemar, it's Ramosha writing, Shabbat Simon Tzadik Zayin Oyser. The other rabbi, who Kosav, Shagam the Tshuva Simon Tzadik Zayin Mater. He said, Rav Aldenburg said that the Marut was Mater in Simon Tzadik Zayin. Ramosha says, not true. The Marut was, he was Oyser in Simon Tzadik Zayin. Then he writes, Vegam Kosav, he wrote, Shashelus Yavitz Mater, that the Shelus Yavitz was Mater. Avsha Osar Beferish, even though he said it's awesome. Bishvil, what did the Tzitz Eliezer mean? Because there was one line we said in Rav Yaakov Emden's tshuva. He wrote, "V'gam ba'uber kosher yesh tzad lahakel l'tzayrich gadol." So he says, "Avsha baru poshit the yosh the loshen yesh tzad lahakel who kasher omar." But at the same time, what else does it mean? She yesh yosit stadim lesser, that there's more stadim to aser. So it's true, Rav Yaakov Emden said there's a tzad lahakel. But how do you paskin based on that? L'maaser, Rav Yaakov Emden's clearly implying that there's more tzadim to say it's aser. K'demasek hayayv etzalzeh, like the Rav Yaakov Emden comes out, he was only matter at the end of the day because of the svara of Gavrik Tala. Vashay is the tshuva's Rav Paulim, and as it relates to the tshuva of the Ben Ishchai, that he quoted, what did the Ben Ishchai? Did the Ben Ishchai paskin in that tshuva? He said he didn't even paskin. He was afraid to paskin. So he says, at the end of the day, I don't understand. He said, Rav Aldenburg based it on a Marit. Marit wrote two tshuvas. One tshuva, he taka said it's mutter, but then there's another tshuva, he said it's asa. So, I you machria. He said, Rav Yaakov Emden said there's a tzad lahakel. Yesh tzad lahakel sounds like there's many tzadim lesser. And he said, the Ben Ishchai, the Rav Paulim, he never paskin the Ben Ishchai. So, you're right, he presented it. Clearly, I'm not saying there's no such tzad. But at the end of the day, how could you come out with halachas, things that are negei shvichas damu when it comes to this, says Rav Moshe, and this is the final that we'll end with, ubaru pashat. Kidagasafti halacha brura al pi rabbi seinu arishoyim hamefarshim v'hapoyskim she'aser b'din ritzicha mamish kol uber ben kosher ben mamzer ben stam uberim uben hayaduin l'chayli tesex she'kulam asurim b'dina mamish ve'in litois ve'lismeich al tshuvas chacham zeh v'shari le'mare bozeh ha'koysev v'choysem l'chvoyda ha'toyra v'dina emes chaysoncha ke'ovichas. This was written to Ramosha's Aiden, Ramosha Tendler. Signs off from Moshe Feinstein.